Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
The aftermath of every social revolution brings about change. Cultural norms and landmarks shift as our minds and hearts expand beyond the familiar. To everything, there is a season and a time to every purpose in the land of the living. This is our time to renew, revive, and restore the hope lost to the busyness of life. This is our time to dig again and rebuild from the storms of our past on a solid footing that holds. Welcome to The Foundation.
The Foundation. Foundation.
The Foundation of Heart Grant is brought to you by Alive, Bon for Bones, Burger King, Commonwealth Bank, Da Vinci Printing Innovators, ESC Distributors Limited, Grand Bahama News, the IAAF World Relays Bahamas, the National Insurance Board, and Popeyes.
The Foundation. Foundation. The Foundation. The Foundation. The Foundation. The Foundation. The Foundation.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. 96.9 FM radio, Howard Grant in your company, The Foundation. It is a beautiful Wednesday afternoon. Now, right off the top, I got to tell you this. you all know Wednesdays is normally the time that we actually dedicate to have good conversations with Garth Roseboro. But he called me, says, Howard, again fishing. Now, I don't know whether or not that's retirement. You know what I mean? That kind of a talk for NBA. You go on fishing, that's retirement. I don't know if he went retiring or he actually went fishing. Well, he's not here with us today, but we definitely have someone in his stead being able to talk with strength and determination. You know him. You've heard his voice before. He's been here with us. You've heard him on other spaces. If you listen to various talk shows, you know exactly who he is. It's my good cousin, Richard Cartwright. I'm going to let him introduce himself. But before we do that, I want you to be able to kind of focus where we are. I want to be able to shout out to all the sponsors, all those persons. I thank those persons who are still interested in being able to do what we do. Got a couple calls for tomorrow's Small Business Thursday, so I'm excited about that. We're going to be able to do a few things. I'm grateful to you guys. Thankful to all those persons. Got to shout out my good, decent people over at AFS Insurance Agents and Brokers. They got everything laid out right over there. Number 407 Blue Hill Road South. They have everything for you as it relates to insurance. You want to be able to get in there and find out exactly what's what. Please do that. Please do that. Make sure you can be able to do that if you're in the market for some insurance for your Estes, your taxis, your jitneys. You can be able to do that. 341-1AFS. 341-1AFS, number 407 Blue Hill Road South. They can be able to assist you. They're open on Saturdays. They're my good, decent people. I always got to be able to shout them out. Ethric Bow. Hopefully he can be able to come down real soon and give us some more information on various packages that they got going on. Got to shout out my good, decent people over at Da Vinci. Da Vinci Printing Innovators, they got everything laid out in the Village Road Shopping Center. I told you, you don't have to present your stuff kind of shoddy anymore. You can be able to take your time and present this accordingly. Let everybody know exactly where you are in terms of your professionalism, this vision that you have. You can be able to put everything, all the accoutrements to ensure that you can present this thing accordingly. Make sure you do that. DaVinciPrinting242.com. DaVinciPrinting242.com. They can do all your printing, your graphics, everything that you need as relates to paper and ink on the thing. Make sure you go down there to Da Vinci's. They are superb in what they're doing. I got to shout out my good, decent people over at Bahamian Contractors Association, who's inviting you to the monthly membership luncheon today, Wednesday, April 24th. Today, their topic's going to be environmental and safety professional with Eustacia Jennings. She will be a guest speaker on the topic, Why is the Environment, Health, and Safety Important for Construction? So it starts now at 12 o'clock. You want to be able to go down there at the Poop Deck out west, which is on Sandyport. The Poop Deck out west, Sandyport. It's a special luncheon price, which is going to be $50. Go there, get some good food, get great information, do some networking, find out exactly where you are. With the Bahamian Contractors Association, they have a monthly membership luncheon today, Wednesday 24th, today. So if you're in the car and say, oh my God, I wanted to go to that thing, you still got time. Go down there and check the thing out. I tell my good friend Leonard Sands, I said, hey, guys, it's a beautiful day. I'm grateful to be here. Make sure you pick up your Guardian newspaper. Information's in the paper. Always eager to talk about it. Always at the cutting edge of what's happening socially. To be able to talk about these things, I think it's important. You can see it right there. Economy nears complete recovery, but the GDP growth yet to surpass the second quarter of 2019. Video show that 8 Mile Rock High School student in physical fight with police. This is bananas. 8 Mile Rock High School, my alma mater, as we do we say that, right? My alma mater. 8 Mile Rock High School in physical fight with the police. I saw that video. Partnership between the China and Bahamas will see life-changing eye surgeries. This is what Dr. Darvall indicates. And then the Prime Minister comments on the marital rate. Unacceptable, activists say. This is sort of a position that we've taken today. Like I said, I want to talk with you with none other than my very, very good friend and cousin. He's my cousin, right? We found this out through the course of conversation. He's my cousin. And I'm always enjoying being able to chat with him and being able to talk about where we are. He had great information the last time we sat here and talked to us about what was happening down there in Haiti with barbecue, with all these things of what's going on. Today, we're just going to be talking about national issues and the perspective of how do we get involved and make some things happen. Richard, say good afternoon to the people. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Richard Cartwright. Go ahead.
Good afternoon, Howard. I'm happy to be here. Good afternoon, Bob.
Good afternoon, my brother. It is wonderful to see you. Always grateful. I know that today, like I said, is Soup Kitchen Day. And I'm grateful that you took the time out to kind of sit with us so we could be able to feed the nation in a different way.
Yes.
So I'm grateful for that, my brother. So what's been going on with you? What are some of the things that we're hearing on the ground as it relates to what's happening? Most recently, we would have seen this kind of a kick up between the Grand Bahama Port Authority and the government of the Bahamas, being able to give them some time to say, hey, listen, this is what we're going to do as it relates to being able to go forward. And you're going to have to make a determination within 30 days. Then we see a few more things happen on this front. Yesterday, I had a conversation, and I spoke to you about it. Yesterday, I had a conversation on the show, more specifically, that spoke to equality in the country and whether or not we are equal as it relates to access to opportunities for us to be able to grow. We've seen and we continue to be able to congratulate RCI on their matter and going through all the everything that they had to go through as it relates to as it relates to their legal matters with Toby and other persons, whoever else was being able to continue to push this concept and idea as to whether or not they are going to be able to acquire this thing. The government finally kind of caved in, made modifications to it, and now they're in the position where they're breaking ground. $165 million project, and persons are talking like this, right? So talk to me about that. Then we saw yesterday, we had sort of a conversation about what the, I think it was the Chargé d'Affaires, took on this kind of position to talk about the inequality that exists in our country, and that the Bahamas is not equal for women. Right? This is heavy stuff. Talk to me about it. Talk to me about what you're hearing on the ground in terms of sentiment that exists in the country.
Well, Howard, to begin with this part of it, I think now in 2024, Bahamians are no longer passive about their country. They're more nationalistic. And when I say nationalistic in every aspect, whether it's about the migrant problems, about the situations of living conditions in our country, or whereby that in the past we wouldn't pay attention to when outside forces make comments about our style of governance and policies, we would normally cave. Today, the streets of San Diego say, no, 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 no more of this. We finally caught up with the rest of the region, whereby like Jamaica, Trinidad, our country, the Bahamas, is Bahamian's aspect. Let us decide which way we want to go. No longer we want you to be telling us your policies are wrong. You can't do this. This is not good for your people. We are now saying, stop. Let us. The only way we're going to know how to fix our problems if we do it ourselves. And in some cases, you see, we are now pushing our agendas outside the world to step up and say, hey, we reached. We've been asleep for a while, but now we're here again.
The only agenda I know that's being pushed outside the world that has anything to do with the Bahamas is the Prime Minister being able to push this concept and idea for climate reform. So I don't know whether or not that's an agenda that he's pushing for the Bahamas or whether or not there's something that he's pushing for himself.
Well,
globally, I don't hear anything else. Talk to me. If you know, let me know.
Well,
like globally, I don't know anything else that we're pushing to say that this is something that we need you to know where the Bahamas stands.
Well, they are trying to, in a way, I wouldn't say reinvent the wheel, but they are taking a different route from previous governments. And in certain areas, they are doing things that basically, it could be beneficial to the Bahamian, but in other areas, they can do more. For instance, like you were talking about the RCI investment, and I see where they are talking about the National Investment Fund will be used as a part of investment. And I was like, we in the Bahamas have basically relied heavily on outside funding to do business, to provide us with a lifeline. We have a lot of Bahamians now are saying, listen, let us now take the lead in doing it for ourselves. You now find that today you have more, especially young Bahamians, I would say from the age of 40 and under, no longer looking to the government to create wealth for themselves. No longer they're looking to look for opportunities for their children. They now want the government to say, listen, you put policies in place, let us be willing to take that load, put it on our shoulder, and go there and seek it. And then what we'll do, we will carve it whereby that we be in the driver's seat and not in the back seat. We now decide whereby that when someone comes to the Bahamas, say, oh, I'd like your idea, I want to invest with you, I want to partner with you, and you said, what are the terms? In the past, we see when people come to the Bahamas and do investments with Bahamians end up being a minority shareholder and the person becomes the majority. We now see where Bahamians are demanding.
The investment authority doesn't allow that. The investment authority at this particular point requires you to be able to have, if you have an external investment, you have to have 60%.
We see where they keep talking it. See, I just tell people this.
Well, this is for paper. But because agreements is agreement.
Yeah.
From a financial standpoint, let's say acquisition, it could say on the paper that I present to, hypothetically, to the investment authority that I am a 60% shareholder, me and five other Bahamians. But the truth of the matter is that these people could be angel investors, and I have the responsibility of being able to pay them back. And so that's a whole different agreement. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
There's a whole different agreement, right? But you could present yourself like
yes.
that.
Yes. We've seen it happen over and over.
You have to present yourself like that.
And so one of the things that I always tell people and I recall from my childhood, the people who basically were the finances or the builders of this nation were our farmers, our fishermen. And I think you could relate to your grandfather telling you back in the day that there were certain aspects that the Bahamas basically produced and stuff. Food-wise, we were basically, up until 1980, almost, not completely, self-sufficient when it came to food. Elutra was our bread hub. We had eggs, milk, all of these things, basically.
Well, see, we still got these things.
No, but I'm saying to you, you was to walk into the food store, and 90% of the basic product stuff like bread basket items, bread and those stuff, were made here locally. They were cheap. I remember when basically a loaf of bread was like 49 cents. Not today, because the cost of ingredients. So what I'm saying is that when government moved towards in other ways to in taxes, trying to make money for the coffers, you force those companies them to basically go belly up, because why? You went up on taxes on the stuff they needed to produce. You then put add extra taxes on everything, the business license, all of these things. And so basically you made it hard for them to continue to operate, especially if they have to use energy. So when you look at it, and I always tell people that for us, you know, I've seen young men say to me, man, I wish the government would allow us the space whereby that we could basically, as a group, with our fishing, we could turn around and basically come together collectively, wherever it's any island, and we could do our own export, more like co-ops. We could now do our produce. We could now make it to a point the government can put in policies whereby that the hotels or other foreign entities, a third or a quarter of your vegetations that you buy, instead of importing it, must come from here. So now you government gets out of the way because they didn't set the policy, and you allow the farmers, the fishermen, you allow these people them now as a group to now do more direct business with these entities instead of having to go through the middleman. I always remember those days when we called these packing houses. The government taking so much and then they tell you the rest, you got to get rid of it. So you now see where in this country where you saw where people in that period of time between the 80s and the 90s and early 2000s move away from it because fellow farmers say, why should I go put all this work in and I got $20,000 worth of crops and the government only can take nine? What I can do with that 11? It's waste.
So let's talk to you about these things. I need to know what the sentiment is that exists in our country. I know a lot of persons don't necessarily want to gravitate towards what's happening from a political standpoint, but I know that persons are kind of brewing with the decision. I had an opportunity to be able to listen to a voice note this morning, I think it's from April 17th, that spoke significantly to Member of Parliament for Mangrove Key and South Andrews. I think his last name is Lunding, right? Being able to speak on the inadequacies and the fact that the electricity has been off for hours in Mangrove Key. There is a bubbling sentiment that exists not only here in Nassau, but throughout the country that speaks to inaccuracies, that speaks to lack of commitment from members of parliament, that speaks, and all of these things translate to a government that is not necessarily focused on its people. Now, you see what he's saying? Yeah. This goes back full circle. It comes back to, at the top of the show, an agenda or an idea that's being pushed out to the world. Like I said, the only thing that I'm hearing as being pushed out to the world from the Bahamas is one thing. This concept and idea that our prime minister is carrying to various portions and leaders that says climate change, climate change, climate change, as opposed to being able to understand that leadership in this particular state has twofold. It's twofold. It's an internal fold and an external fold. And the only way that we could be able to open up externally is if we take care of what needs to be taken care of from the inside. This administration has not necessarily been focusing on those things. They've done a great deal as it relates to being able to acquire media voices, personalities, concepts, ideas, that kind of image to project to the wider market. They've done an excellent aspect of being able to put youth in strategic places that they could create these concepts and ideas to put out on social media, that they could always ask these things. But when we start to talk about what's being done on the ground, when we start to look at the contrast from the promises being made and the delivery, we realize that there is a break. There is a gap in this. So I want to know whether or not these sentiments, the gap that exists in these particular sentiments, are being felt on the ground.
Yes, it is, because the average person, because just the other day, I was talking with the vice chair of urban renewal, And I asked the question, what is the plan moving forward? And the person said, listen, you know, this is the policies that they laid out. And I said, well, there's more you can do with that program. And they said, you know, I'm new to this. So I said, well, I could give you some ideas. And so the
You can't do that.
Yeah.
That feel like an insult.
No. They were very embraced. They were very glad. It's like,
hey. I mean, for the most part, when you start to talk to leadership in this country and say, I want to give you ideas.
Yeah.
They try to tell you right off the top, we straight.
No, but you see, I'm fortunate that the person who I spoke with.
You know these people?
Yes, and okay, they were very receptive to it because they said, listen, man, we can see. And I said to them, listen, look at this country right now. The average Bahamian no longer goes to the parliamentarian for advice or share information, whatever. He goes to his fellow brother on the street. If you look around the cities, and I was talking about urban renewal in this aspect, urban renewal program, in theory, should work. Should work. But if you look at it in actual movement on the ground, it isn't working.
Anything should work on paper.
And so when I analyze it and I said, okay, here's the problems when I saw with it. You have an economic side to it. You have a social and cultural, and you have an environmental. All of that comes back to basically a community building. So I look back at the theory that was proposed by Dr. Minnis in the previous government, and I look back into the past with the urban renewal, and I said, where is we not connecting? And then I realized it. It's in the youth, the community with the youth, especially in the section of the young men. And I told someone in urban renewal, I said,
I like this, what you're doing right here.
Yeah. I said, why are you? I said, I appreciate you all having 90% of the people working in there are women. It's good. That's the young, these people are in this community. They live here.
I like this.
But I said, but here's where you're lacking. The people who really knows these communities and be about these communities are the Bahamian young men. If you don't make them a part of this system and get them involved, you're going to isolate them. And once you isolate them, you now become the other. So he said, what is the other? I said, well, if you're not my friend, what are you?
Young children is called an op now.
Op. I break it down, just either you with me or you against me. So they pick up on that right away. So I said, instead of having the police more involved, I said, the police can assist. Take a few of those young men, start them off where you put them in to, say, maintaining the buildings. You then expand from there where you now have them ride around the community. Say, yes, there's a rundown property. Guess what? Mr. So-and-so, they're more on that. Get the community more involved identifying these things because this is the community you're trying to build.
Mm-hmm.
So when you come across, like I told someone, we've got a rundown property in my community. And I said, listen, don't take the property from the owners. Offer them 90, because the property is worth more than that. But
you know what's crazy for me? The answers for our growth, expansion, and forward movement exist in this country.
Yeah.
Like, we don't have to go and look for consultants elsewhere.
No.
But there are people that are sitting down, and then sometimes because you're not involved in the conversation, you pass them. And you say, look at the alcoholics, or look at the this, or look at the that. And you make these assumptions that the boys on the block smoking dope, that the old fellas sitting down who congregate in this particular space just drinking. You make these assumptions, and you don't know that there is sort of a parliamentary community activist grouping that talked about what needs to happen. These are where the real decisions happen in this country. You know, these are where governments change in this country. When these men and women get together and make a determination that we're no longer going to support this government, that government, this individual, this is where it starts. It bubbles from these small sectors. Because if you could sit here with me, and I got to take this commercial break. If you could sit here with me and tell me about urban renewal and how you've given depth, you've given significant thought to it, to talk about the economic side of it, the social and cultural side of it. And you could see it from this particular perspective. I'm trying to figure out, well, what is the lack that says to me that the answers exist in our country? that persons are thinking about this. When we get back, I want to ask you some more questions about this and whether or not it translates to, because the PLP has shifted this concept. The PLP has introduced Urban Renewal 2.0. They've gone, they come back, and they introduce Urban Renewal 2.0. And you're saying to me, still, the element that pulls the youth in is not available. I want to talk about it. Guys, the line's going to be wide open. I'd like you to join in the conversation. 323-6232, 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259. Anywhere for the family of islands, 242-300-5720. Hit me up, 422-4796. Quick commercial break. Going to be right back after this.
The Foundation. Foundation.
Great news! Ron's Electric Motors' new location on Cowpen Road, right next to Island Luck, is open Saturdays and Sundays. So for those needing repairs on electric motors, generators, welding machines, water pumps, battery chargers, electric lifts, transformers, and power tools, Ron's Cowpen Road location can have you up and running on weekends. Don't forget, you can still visit Ron's Electric Motors on Wolf Road and Claridge Road, and now Ron's new location on Cowpen Road. Dial 356-0249 or 323-5267.
Do you have uncontrollable debt? Are you ready to make that move to Fidelity for a stress-free future? These loans have a built-in savings plan that pays you unbeatable interest. Ask about our debt consolidation loans today. Call 356-7764.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
Wings are here. Popeyes now has wings in 5 flavors. Honey barbecue, ghost pepper, signature hot, sweet and spicy, and roasted garlic parmesan. Marinated for 12 hours. Hand battered and breaded in a bold Louisiana seasoning. And they're only $7.25 for 6 wings. Taste them.
Crunchy outside.
And juicy inside.
Try the new wings from Popeyes now.
Love that chicken from Popeyes.
Get ready! On May 4th and 5th, athletes from around the world will compete to secure their spot in the Paris Olympics. Come, witness history as our Bahamian athletes run against the world and chase the sun from paradise to Paris at the BTC World Athletic Relays here in Nassau, Bahamas at the Thomas A. Robinson National Stadium. Get your tickets now at worldrelaysbahamas24.org or at the Andre Rogers Baseball Stadium box office or at BTC Mall at Marathon or BTC Southwest Plaza. BTC World Relays. Be there.
Here's to the go-getters, the early risers, and the late-night dreamers. You, the visionaries, painting futures in your mind, in your studio, your office, your sacred space. Here's to the adventurers, explorers of every realm. To you, the innovators, turning the cogs of progress in a world where connection is a lifeline, a pathway to possibilities. Alive is the perfect connection for everyone, every lifestyle. Every day.
Visit BeAlive.com today.
Foundation. The Foundation. The Foundation.
And we are back, ladies and gentlemen, 96.9 FM Radio. Howard Grant and your company, The Foundation. We are here. The lines are wide open. Please join in the conversation, 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259. Anywhere for the family of islands, 242-300-5720. Hit me up, 422-4796. I'm here with none other than Richard Cartwright, being able to have very, very good conversations with what's happening. And like I said to you, when we left off, you know, what's an amazing thing for me, right? What's an amazing thing for me? And the reason why I do this, the reason why I seek to identify people who are in the city, right? Okay, so I can break a couple things down. I called about 3 of my friends last evening to ask them to join me in a conversation about equality in the country. Now, these men are men of the cloth. Now, they are learned men. Now, I know them. I want you to know, I know them. I know their heart. I know the way that they speak, how they articulate. I know their thinking. Now, I said to them, I don't want to beat nobody with the Bible, but I want to get to a deeper conversation beyond the surface as it relates to being able to talk about equality. I get somewhere with this. And says, okay, Howard, we could do this at this particular day. I say, okay, no problem. We'll talk about it then. Good. The reason why I looked for them, because this is an easy conversation. Anyone could do this. But so many people seek to be able to give you the facts that exist within their time frame, within the span of their memory, right? They give you the facts that exist in the paper today. They give you the facts that has been given to them about this, never getting to the truth. See, my God, I just get deep. I need to calm down. Because the truth is this. Facts can be altered throughout the course of time and history. But there is an underlining, undeniable truth that all of us seek to ignore. Because when we look at the truth, it gives us the truth within ourselves that we haven't tried enough, that we wasn't focused, that we wasn't committed the way that we were supposed to, that we should have pushed further, that we should stand firm, right? If you look at truth, it activates something in you and says, I got to be able to contribute. The reason why I look for people like you, and I'm always open to have these kind of a conversation, is because after people ascend to a position, for them to maintain that position, they have to do everything that they've always done to maintain that position. If they're politicians, if they're doctors, if they're lawyers, if they're judges, if they're policemen, so forth and so on, they have to adhere to the culture of the organization or, you know, the brotherhood or whatever it is that they've committed themselves to. They have to now ignore the underlying truth, many of them. Not that they don't know it there, but they do not speak about it. When we get into the ghettos, when we get into the impoverished community, when we get into those persons who are broken, when we get into those spaces where people have rejected in our society to say that this is crime-ridden, and we could find philosophers, we could find people who are articulate and understand, I need to talk to them. That's why I'm talking to you. And whilst I'm sitting here speaking with you, you could say to me, Howard, I look at what the government present for urban renewal. And in the midst of presenting this for urban renewal, I see that they have all these elements, and on paper, the thing looked good. But practical application, something wrong with it, Howard. It's lost in translation. And we're still not getting the effect that we need to have in the community for the change that we seek after all of this money has been spent, after all these things have been done. And you saying to me, Howard, one of the issues that they're leaving out is the youth. Talk to me about it. How could the government leave out the youth if it's a youth program?
Well, like I said again, Howard, I think where governments go wrong is that when they are crafting their ideas and putting it to paper, it is basically crafted by bureaucrats. So, like everything else, like you said earlier, you grew up in 8 Mile Rock. You said everybody in that 8 Mile Rock community knew everybody. So if anyone who came outside the community to tell you this is good for 8 Mile Rock, you 8 Mile Rockers said, no, this ain't what we want. This is what we want. Let us craft this to what we want, and then we expand to what you want. So you have this dialogue. But here with these government policies, bureaucrats are telling the people in these communities, this is what we see, not understanding that these people live, eat, sleep it every day. So for them, you are telling them, you're not helping them. That's the difference.
But one of the things that I've come to find out is when I listen, when I think about 8 Mile Rock, because I know the thing intimately, I know these people. I grew up with them. I go to school there. I listen to me. It's my place. This is my home. Okay? And what I realize is that there isn't a collective consensus as to what needs to happen. The majority, the 5,000 some people who are registered to vote, know that my voice counts, so they register to vote. They've been encouraged to vote. They've been encouraged to register to vote, right? And so in the midst of them encouraged and doing what they're supposed to do, right, because this is the tradition, I can get deep with you, half the community is Turks Island people. These people is listening to what mama say. If mama say go do what we have to do, we're doing what we have to do, okay? So that registration is based upon what is required. It's almost like a rite of passage. You know man or no woman until you can register. Okay, so they register. Most of them register for the by-election and still ain't going to vote. They still ain't vote. There isn't a collective consensus and an agreement in the constituency by itself without politics that says this is what we need for the community going forward. In no constituency in this country, minus the affluent constituencies, minus the Blair states, minus the St. Anne's, minus the Long Island, minus the Harbour Island, minus, you understand what I'm saying? Where yeah. money exists, minus Kalani,
yeah,
minus these kind of spaces, where people are financially well off and they don't need you dabbling with your concepts of what our community can be. For the most part, out of the 39 constituencies, at least 30 of them, or maybe more, have no vision for themselves. They know they don't have no idea what they want to do for themselves. They only know, my God, when they can fix the pothole, my God, the light out, I need a bus stop right here. That's it. That's the extent, far and wide, for most of them, that they know based upon what they can see. And so when a politician or a government comes in, political organization comes in and say, we promise you, we're going to do this, we're going to do that, we're going to do the next thing, and my party is going to do this, and this is a new day. You got to go with the rhythm of the media. You got to go with the rhythm of the campaign. And at the end of the day, you still don't get anything. That's what I realize is one of the greatest issues in our country. Nobody have vision for themselves. I said it on my show several times. I said, the PLP have their vision. They know what they want to do. The FNM have their vision. They know what they want to do. The government already have its course. They know it knows what it has to do. No matter what the PLP and the FNM says, when they step into the position of government, they have to now conform. But the only people who don't have a plan is the Bahamian people. We have no plan. The beginning and the end, the alpha and the omega of our plan is if we're uncomfortable or we don't like you, we can vote you out. That's it. There's no course for Greater Bahama Land. There is only we getting you out. How do we now, from your position, from your vantage point, from your position within the inner city of our country, where it is ripe with crime and tribulation, how do we collectively, including those people from the inner cities, chart a course for a better country? What do we need to do to chart a course for a better country?
Well, because here's the thing I always notice, and I always tell people this. For most Bahamians out there don't know, I was born in the community of Coconut Grove, better now known as the constituency of St. Barnabas. And one of the things that I always tell people is that Grove people are unique. And they said, what do you mean? I said, well, if you look at the Grove community compared to Bayntown, a Camp Road, if you notice, in the early 60s when that community came to play, it was basically called the center, and it moved towards of the early model of community. Everything we had in that community was just made us think different. We were more into building because the same opportunities with the people out west had, we've had. We've had a movie theater. We've had a bank in our community. We've had grocery stores. We've had food stores. We had every, and one of the things that no one paid attention to, when you're doing the development in an urban city, you got to have passageways. And my community was always in the middle. Today, if you got to come from Michael Road and you want to come take Blue Road to go into town, you have to pass my community. If you leave in downtown and you want to go into the south, you have to come through my community, which is Market Street. If you want to now go and take the south and use it as a dual carriageway, you can take East Street, which is on my community border. If you want to go to Fox Hill and you come in from the south, you can take Robinson Road and you go. So you see, my community was always on the boundaries. And then the things that really needed, like your little convenience stores, they have been generation. The people who started it might have died out, but their children were taught, this is your inheritance.
This is crazy what you're saying to me.
And they keep it. For instance,
Basil, I never see it like this, but yeah. This is absolutely accurate what you're saying to me.
Basil Dean.
If you had all of this.
Yes. But what happened was that people like...
Why not thrive?
Our community, and this is one thing I always tell people, the Coconut Grove community, 98% of the owners in that, the people who live in that community, are second generation sitting on land that their family own, not rent, own. They were the first set of people over the hill who bought into the concept when that area was properly owned by people like Sir Roland and them. We were the first model for the Yellow Elders. We were the first model for the Ridgeland Parks. We were the first models for the South Beach. All of those extended communities.
It's heavy what you're saying to me.
Were copied from.
Most of those communities are failures.
Copied from. The difference is that.
This is heavy what you're saying to me.
The difference is.
Most of these communities that you're talking about is crime ridden.
Yeah. But the thing is, we basically managed to keep that old culture like an 8 Mile Rock and say, listen, your child is my child. And your son is my son. Your brother is my brother. So we continue living like a family.
I got to talk to you about this. I got to take this commercial break, ladies and gentlemen, and get to news. But I got to talk to you deeper about this because the difference that I... Because, you know, when I come to Nassau, the first place I stopped was... I had some very good friends that lived in Hospital Lane. So I was in Rupert Dean Lane and Hospital Lane almost every day, just hanging out, right? And the difference between 8 Mile Rock and these particular spaces is that we were an actual community. We knew every foreign face that came in, and we policed our own community. We know these people. Everybody goes to school together. We know each other, so forth and so on. The segregation that existed in 8 Mile Rock was between Turks Island and Grand Bahamian people. And in the midst of it, we all still went to school together. So I knew all everyone. And so the integration that existed in this particular, because this is real integration, the integration that existed in this particular space caused it to blossom into a community. Everybody helped each other. Everybody knew each other. I almost get in a fight one time, this young boy who nobody knew. He had family in 8 Mile Rock and tell me I couldn't come to a corner. I say, are you stupid, sir? Do you know who I am? I'm from 8 Mile Rock. This whole 8 miles is mine. This is kind of a very, very possessive. This is how we are in 8 Mile Rock, right? I say that to say, because of this nature of community that existed in 8 Mile Rock, we still have community. And the only issues, look in the papers today, the only issue that exists in 8 Mile Rock right now is foreigners. Nobody know who these people are. Nobody know your culture. Nobody know where you're from. Nobody know what your inclinations are that exist within you. The only issue that we see in these particular spaces is that. And now it's a reemergence of segregation in your community and over the hills communities. You know why? Because people ain't talking to people anymore because no one knows who your people is. Foreigners in our space. We get to talk about these things and have a very clear understanding, a clear-cut conversation about how we're going to get beyond this point and get back to where we need to be. Or maybe not get back, but at least move beyond this and find growth and development in this country. Guys, I'm sitting here talking with none other than Richard Cartwright, talking about where we are and how do we get back? How do we get to equality? How do we get to a very clear understanding of what we possess? How do we possess our land again and make this thing happen? We're going to get this commercial break, guys, and be right back after this.
The foundation. The foundation. Foundation.
It's Whopper Wednesday every Wednesday at Burger King Nassau. Make your Wednesday sizzle and sink your teeth into a flame-grilled beef patty topped with tomatoes, fresh-cut lettuce, mayo, pickles, ketchup, and sliced onions, all on a toasted sesame seed bun with fries for only $5.95, including VAT. This Whopper Wednesday, grab a friend and head down to your favorite BK Nassau location for a flame-grilled Whopper made your way with crisp fries for only $5.95. Burger King Nassau, where taste is king.
Bonneville Bones, established in 1970, is the leader in men's fashion in the Bahamas. We're conveniently located in the Mall at Marathon and the Harbor Bay Shopping Plaza, and fully stocked with everything you need for all occasions. Our Harbor Bay location is one door north of Alive, with the black and white signage of Bonneville Boutique. Both locations are open from 10 to 7 p.m. Monday through Saturday. Bonneville Bones and Bonneville Boutique, still the leader in men's fashion. Located in the Mall at Marathon and the Harbor Bay Shopping Plaza.
Here's to the go-getters, the early risers, and the late-night dreamers. You, the visionaries, painting futures in your mind, in your studio, your office, your sacred space. Here's to the adventurers, explorers of every realm. To you, the innovators, turning the cogs of progress in a world where connection is a lifeline, a pathway to possibilities. Alive is the perfect connection for everyone, every lifestyle, every day.
Visit BeAlive.com today.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
Great news! Ron's Electric Motors' new location on Cowpen Road, right next to Island Luck, is open Saturdays and Sundays. So for those needing repairs on electric motors, generators, welding machines, water pumps, battery chargers, electric lifts, transformers, and power tools, Ron's Cowpen Road location can have you up and running on weekends. Don't forget, you can still visit Ron's Electric Motors on Wolf Road and Claridge Road, and now Ron's new location on Cowpen Road. Dial 356-0249 or 323-5255.
The Grand Bahama News is available every Tuesday in the Nassau Guardian. You can buy your local paper at Freeport convenience stores, Western Bakery, DeGregory's Fine Foods, and Bellevue Gifts. Now is the time to reach your Grand Bahama market with affordable packages, including print and digital. Call GB News sales representative Kavandre at 822-6717 or message him on WhatsApp for ad rates. Classified ads are now available every Tuesday as well. Keep up with everything Grand Bahamian every Tuesday in the Nassau Guardian.
Foundation. And we are back, ladies and gentlemen, 96.9 FM radio, Howard Grant in your company, the Foundation. It is a beautiful Wednesday afternoon, April 24th, live and in full effect, wherever you are. Guys, make sure you go down to the Bahamian Contractors Association. I don't know if it says at 12 noon, so I don't know how long the meeting will be, but if you're out there and you're listening in and you said, oh my God, I was supposed to make that, you can still do that. They're going to be over at Poop Deck, right? Out West, Poop Deck, Out West. You can be able to do that. The lunch is going to be $50. Bahamian Contractors Association, the president, who is Leonard Sands, is my very, very good friend, and he has set this up. There's going to be great conversations and sort of a topic with Eustacia Jennings. She's going to be talking about why is the environment and health and safety important for construction. So make sure you go and participate in that and see exactly what he invited me. But, you know, it's going to be difficult to do the show and go there at the same time. Talk to me. Well, anyway, we're here with none other than my very good friend and my cousin. I might as well just be decent. You know what happened is that, you know, when I was young... So when I was young, people would say, but you're looking for family. But as you get older, you try to be able to find the commonality. You try to be able to find, you know, the distance that exists between us, right? Is this 6 degrees of separation? How far are we in our society, right? And so as you grow, you mature and have a greater understanding as to the history that exists in this particular community before you reach. So you get to learn these particular things. And especially since I moved here in Nassau, I've been asking people, hey, what's your last name? What's your this? What's your that? Right? As I get older, when you ask young girls this, right, more specifically young women, you say, what's your last name? Right? They think you try to check them out on Facebook. No, I try to figure out who your family is because you look familiar. What your last name is? Oh, I am a Russell. Oh, you're a Russell. Oh, I'm a Jones. Oh, I'm a this. Oh, I'm a that. Right? So it's an amazing thing that we could be able to find family. Once we start to have those kind of conversations, we realize that we ain't as far as we think we are. This is a very tight-knit community, and we got to be able to have these kind of conversations. I'm here with none other than Richard Cartwright, being able to talk to us about what's happening from the inner city standpoint. What's happening? How do we get a piece of this pie? Where's the equality? Right? The lines are wide open. Please be a part of the conversation. 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259, anywhere for the family of islands, 242-300, 5720. Hit me up, 422-4796 on the text line. I gotta shoot straight with you, Richard. While you're here talking about these things, you started to talk about how many communities were molded and shaped in terms of what they've done in terms of their development after St. Barnabas, after Coconut Grove, after these particular areas. So they tried to duplicate that. Now, tragically, the duplication has spilt out in other spaces. Because not only have they taken the concept and the proximity of those relationships to Pinewood, right? To Linden Pinland Estates, to these various places. Not only have they taken the proximity and the layout, they've also, unfortunately, taken the crime. So in my view, the concept, in theory, this is what we're talking about, in theory, this is a great idea. In theory, this is a wonderful idea. My God, we could do this. But when you see the practical application, and you don't have the mothers who used to be in the community, if you don't have the people who used to look out for each other, people breaking into your house, little children coming home after school, the community was their own truant officers. Hey, Sheila, what you doing? You need to go to school, girl. I can let your ma know. The community was its truant officers. The community protected itself against crime. There was always a representative that actually stood for a standard in the community. That has gone. The same way has left Coconut Grove. The same way has left Linden Pinland Estates. The same way has left Pinewood. The same way it has left almost every subsector. Rock Crusher, it doesn't matter. We have forgotten these elements and in its replace, right, in its stead, after it's actually extracted and it's gone, crime takes over. This is heavy what you're saying to me, my brother. This is heavy that you're saying to me that the concept was a good concept. But if we don't have a space to be able to police, if the community isn't there, because that's the same thing that we're talking about. When you start to give a contrast between us and 8 Mile Rock, I've been home last year for the rejuvenation tour. I feel like I want to do a rejuvenation tour again come June. I think I want to do it again. I think it should be an annual thing that we, you know what? We can do it again, right? We did a rejuvenation tour in Grand Bahama. I took 1 week off, went to Grand Bahama, had great conversations, talked to everyone up and down in Grand Bahama and talk about those things. Went down to 8 Mile Rock and just looking at faces on the street in 8 Mile Rock. Now, understand what I'm saying to you. I know these children parents. I should know them. I looked at a couple faces and I was able to say, your mother is this one, your daddy is this one. Yeah, who's your daddy? What's your doing? Boom, 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 boom. But for the most part, there are so many foreign faces in 8 Mile Rock. I didn't know where the hell I was. I say that to say, when I was growing up in 8 Mile Rock, people knew that my mother was Verne. When I was growing up in 8 Mile Rock, people knew that my father was Howard. Everyone could look at my round, red face and say, your grandmother is Merlene. Now, we enter our communities and don't know who the hell these people are. Where all come from?
Well, Howard, you know, one of the biggest things that I noticed as time went by, we were more encouraged to embrace the ideology of the outside. But the one thing that I found that kept my community and probably your community and some of the island communities together is that the one thing we never look at but was that landmark called the church. Because you found that the elder statesmen in the church, no matter how much we weared off, the elder statesmen in the church would still go around the community. And he might not know little Johnny, but he knew little Johnny's mother.
It's amazing. It's
and
amazing.
So he kept that. He was the fabric, but kept you. So even still that, I was learning that, we're talking about this now. I remember some of my friends, who childhood friends, were drug dealers. And today, when you see some of them, it's like, he no, man, they never did that. Because he is now, they have taken on that passion of the community before they became what they were. And now you see a revolve whereby that they love their community. And they are now saying to the few who wants to be so-called bad boys, they saying to them, listen, I've been on this road. I could tell you where this road can lead you if you don't want to change. Now, those who want to change, we will work with you to help you. Those who isn't, you're going to have to pay the price. And that, and we're seeing what has happened in our community.
Wow. Let me take this telephone call. Guys, the lines are wide open. Caller on the line with us live. Go ahead. Caller on the line with us live. Go ahead.
Hey, Al, what's up?
All is well. Let's do it.
Yeah, man. Long time no hear from, sir.
I write here, my brother. You know where he is every day. Praise God. What you say?
And good afternoon to your guest.
Good afternoon.
But, you know, I started my show, so, you know.
I saw that. But, congratulations. Yeah,
thank you. Thank you, Howard. Howard, listen to me. Let me say something to you and to your guests and to those who are listening. We are, as a person who goes around communities every other day, right? I also have a YouTube page, right? Howard, we in a country with a bunch of young, lazy people. All right, Howard, listen. I say we're in a certain area in Baintown, right? The person wants to talk, wants to share their, you know, their lively, you know, whatever, whatever, whatever. But before I sit down, the person sit down and talk with me, I have to give her $20. Right? Listen. Hold on, Howard. Let me give you the joke. What's this?
That wasn't the joke.
It's a big joke. The lady say, she said, Mister. I say, now listen to me, darling. You don't even have to show your face, but just, you know, speak from your heart. You living in these sub like conditions or whatever the case may be, right? Speak. You know, maybe someone might watch this, my page or my videos, and someone might reach out to me to reach out to you. Okay. So she says, Mister, I ain't gonna lie to you. I want to talk, but you gotta give me $20. I say, Mom, listen to me. If I have to give you $20 for you to express how you feeling or what you're going through, there someone out there might could feel some kind of sympathy to get through to me to get back to you. That don't make no sense. All right? And Howard, listen to me. We are living in a country, and Bahamian people, whether y'all want to admit it or not, we living in a country with a bunch of lazy, lousy, weightless people. Reality, Howard, you can't, ain't nobody could tell me different. I go in the ghettos, I go in the urban areas, I sit on the block with the fellas them, who this and that. I know, Howard, these people in this country are too lazy, some of them, Howard. All they want to do is depend on the government. They want to depend on social service. They want to depend on the church. They want to depend on Bishop Walter Henshaw. You right, Wolf Road. How much of them people help and strength? They refuse to go out there and try to help themselves. Howard, let me tell you something. Let me lead us with you.
Go ahead.
When I start off here living in Nassau, I start off washing cars. Right now, God has opened doors for me. I would have two businesses to survive. So too much of people in this country who say they can't find no job, they don't want to find no job, Howard. And we need to stop this pity potting.
This heavy what you're saying.
Feeling sorry for some of these people, Howard.
This heavy what you're saying.
They feel sorry for you.
I appreciate you, DeWitt. I always appreciate your telephone call. It's heavy what DeWitt said. I won't do this. Let me do this. Give me some space. I can do this. I got to do this. We tend to forget our humble beginnings. We tend to forget where we started from. We tend to forget, as we ascend, we do our best to suppress the memories of the hard times that we had yesterday. As we ascend, we do our best to forget the tribulation that we had to go through. And this, our face smelling like spit because we didn't have no water on in the house because mommy just was trying to take the booger out your eye. We forget these things. We forget these things, and as we ascend and someone put a seed in you, because that's all it takes, just a seed, to say, my God, Richard, I believe that you could do great things. Don't worry about this ghetto. Don't let the ghetto get in you. This light that you got in you, you got to do these things. My God, Howard, I know you're better than this. As we ascend and we nurture that seed and seek to find the better, we forget the tribulation. And then as we now mature, the tree's strong now. You got little children climbing up on this tree. You can take care of these things. Now you're strong now. You forget the weak, vulnerable state that you was in. When I had DeWitt say these things, I know that he has a heart for the community. But DeWitt, you could tell us a story of the tribulation that you would have gone through and the hard times that you would have gone through. And only God himself stop you from going down to Mr. Bishop Panchal. Let's just shoot straight.
Yeah.
Well, you know, only God himself stop your mother them from going down to these particular places. Now, one of the things that we tend to forget is that a lot of these people, they may look strong and healthy, but they are broken in their spirit and in their mind. That's what poverty is, you know.
Yeah.
Poverty don't exist on your exterior. We could always wash you off and rinse you down and put conditioner on you and spray perfume. You look different.
It's a state of mind.
But you're still poor.
It's the state of mind.
You smell good and look good. You got the whole suit on, getting right back to Bishop Panchal.
Yeah. I always tell people, as you know, I work with my church on Wednesdays at First Baptist, where we do a feeding program. Actually, today is what we call dry grocery day. So you could have come by between the hours of 12 and probably 2 and gotten a bag of groceries for you to go home and feed your family. But when I started working with that program, I had that same sentiment. And then I took a step back and I listened to people. So I conversate. And, you know, I always tell people this is something that I don't think many Bahamians understand. The lockdown during COVID made a very, very dramatic effect on the Bahamian psyche. And whether we like it or not, I don't knock the Bishop Hanchels. I don't knock the service that's provided by in St. Barnabas community. I can only speak for. On Wednesdays, we have roughly, in our community on Wednesdays, I believe, we got about at least 5 feeding programs. And I know some of those people go to every one of those programs for assistance. I've seen where in our church has been used as a learning facility where members have been who came to the feeding program are learning some form of skill. So it's like, that's what a community is supposed to be. And that's why I said with the urban program, you have to encourage, you cannot just throw the platform and then say, yeah, these people them need to come in to get some assistance or learn out or go back and that they don't need to be here. If you're only doing it to boost your image, You remind me of the Bible where they talk about the Pharisees.
It's heavy what you're saying.
If you ain't doing nothing from within your heart, then don't do it.
It's heavy what you're saying.
And that's one of the things, that's why I tell people that what has made our community so much in the Coconut Grove community, many of us are not from the same families. You can imagine the Grove where we have Haitians, Jamaicans, people from Acklands, people from Andres, people from Long Island, and me, one melting pot. So why is it working for us? Now, we do have some challenges.
But you keep saying it's working for you. What you mean working for you?
We still are a community.
You only is a community by definition.
No. Here's what I always tell people is this.
You own a community based upon per capita, based upon proximity, based upon definition. You are not a community that you used to be.
No, but when you compare our community today to the other urban communities,
you get less killing. That's what you're going to tell me?
No.
You get less murders. Okay, so you get less murders. May get less people breaking into homes.
We don't have that problem.
This is what I'm trying to tell you.
But the young people are willing. We still work a lot. We don't give up on our youth.
How much youth programs you got in the inner city right there?
In our inner city, just about.
So you got urban renewal.
Yes.
I sure you got some other marching band stuff in the
community,
right? They got
four or five of them.
Right. So they got some great stuff going on. You got people coming from all over contributing, whether it be food, whether it be time, whether it be these particular things. So you got all these programs going on. But don't...
We could do more.
Okay, now, I like talking to you. Yeah, and other persons like you, right? Somebody call, text me, and I can read this text. Yeah. Just give me 2 seconds. I want to read this text, and I want to explain some stuff. So I called you a philosopher. I did. You didn't tell me to do this. This is what I make a determination of you with. So I said, philosopher. So they text me. They say, philosopher. I said, sir, you're wilding out today. They laugh. And so they said, Howard, the Bahamas is full of fast-talking scammers. Now, they wasn't talking about you. They just talk in general, right? So they says, don't confuse being from the community and being vocal with intelligence, insight, or knowing what is best for the community. I remember Miss Reckley, which is Michelle Reckley from Grand Bahama. Okay. I remember Miss Reckley, who said her qualifications for Urban Renewal Director was coming from urban. Next thing that we hear, Ms. Reckley was locking up the office, bullying staff, and the only, and this is allegations, obviously, this is only alleged. I'm going to read the text, though, right? Bullying staff, and only thing giving out supplies to people who she know. Then she was in court for some missing money. This is based upon allegations and speculations and so forth and so on. Now, some information's in the paper, but I have to say that for the purposes of this conversation. It says, forget from urban and not from urban. And look at the qualities in soft skills and technical skills. Okay, so let's get a couple of things clear. First and foremost, you didn't say that you're a philosopher. You didn't say that.
No.
You never placed no accolades on yourself. You never said I come from the community. You never said these things. I said that about you. The principle in here that exists is when men see these qualities in you, you don't blow your own trumpet.
No.
This is the difference that exists in what's happening out here. And let's be very clear about this. There are some people that I know right now that I will always gravitate to and sit with as opposed to sitting with. I know all these politicians. You know that.
Yeah.
I know all of them. And I wouldn't break bread with some of them. You hear me?
I know.
Okay, you don't. You think you know.
No,
I'm trying to explain this to you.
No, I've seen.
I would not break bread with some of these politicians. I just want to be decent. I'm never going to call nobody name.
No.
I'm simply saying that these men that and women that present themselves in a particular way socially, they lack character. They are void of substance and conviction. They are in this position based upon their rhythm of how to be able to convince you, based upon their proximity to their politics. I will never break bread with them. I will always come looking for you and sit with you and break bread with you and off air, on air.
Yeah.
This is just what I want. I'm only saying that to say, we know substance when it shows up.
Me and you have always had conversations, whether when we sat in the Gallery of Parliament and when we come out and you would point things out to me which I didn't see. And in a matter of fact, I would say this, you have helped me to identify those type of persons that you talk about. And give me that space whereby that I had the courage to say, I can talk to them. Growing up in, like I said, in the inner city, we look at these people as off-limits.
Smarter.
Yeah.
They're smarter than us.
But
God. We can't talk to them.
But what I realized,
they are men.
Men. Women.
That's all they are.
And
men.
But you know, one of the things...
With a mission of the community.
Yeah.
And many of them ain't carrying on the mission.
No. And I was surprised and started to, after a while, speaking with a few, and I said, well, you from, and when you find out that they are actually from the community, and so we now realize that, listen, we need you to push the certain agendas. One of the things that I always said to someone who was on the school board, and I said to them, I said, you know, you're in a good position on the school board. I said, why don't you get the two candidates who ran in this community, the present one who's won, the one who lost, and combine with them the information on what they have, who some skills.
But that's work. You.
No, but that's what you want to do.
Of course that's what you want to do.
And so you basically...
That is the vision for the community.
And I said, instead of the government having to go and say, okay, these people, children, go to these schools in the community. Why not get them, make them a part of the system where they're now showing care for the school that their children go to. They take care of it. They make
sure... heavy, what you're saying.
They make sure that everything with the school needs...
But that's what a politician's supposed to do. Now, let's be very clear.
No, here's why I tell people that I don't like this stuff at the port. Because, see, when the politician does it, I hate to use it, but it's a form of... what's the word I want to use? Extortion.
That is crazy that you use... You say... Do you know that you just said extortion?
Yeah.
That's not... What you talking about extortion?
That's extortion. Because if I don't fix the school... The kids, them parents come, Mr. MP, our school need this. Don't worry about that. I get that. Just send the kids to school. Oh, Mr. MPC can take care of it. Y'all don't worry about it. Johnny, y'all go to school. Johnny, them go to school. The bathrooms ain't fixed. The desks, them break down. School, got to come out early because why? The toilets ain't working. Kids come home. Why are you home? Mommy, the toilet ain't working. But Mr. MPC, you can fix it. I can call the MP. Oh, Ms. Johnson, don't worry about that. We got this. Tomorrow, send Johnny them back to school. But Mr. MP, please, because you know I got to go to work. Don't worry about that. Don't worry about that. We got that. Johnny them go to school. Mom go to work. Johnny them come back home again.
12 o'clock.
12 o'clock. Mm-hmm. Boom.
Toilets ain't working.
Toilets ain't working.
Ain't no water on in the school.
School. So now you got some kind of function that they want to have in the neighborhood. So what happens? Overnight, bathroom six. School got paint on it, the yard clean.
Because that's a lousy MP, and you should fire him or her instantaneously. Now, let me explain something to you.
Now, here's the thing, though. When this whole stuff comes around, because we know that in our system, political system, it is the head people and the machinery people follow, not that one individual. That one individual they follow is the leader. So when he comes around, he says, no problem. I can deal with him.
I can put some real names to this thing for you.
All right, so he says, okay, he slides away. So you walk away. Boy, I talk. You know who I just talked to? Who? I talked to the PM. He tell me, so he can deal with this matter. And it goes away.
Let's fix this right now. I won't fix this for you.
Mm-hmm.
I won't talk like this. Guys, the lines are wide open. Please be a part of the conversation. Let's talk about this today. There are some lousy men and women that exist in politics. Very lousy. They lean heavily on the influence of their political organization, and they pray to Jesus, they pray to God, that they come in on a wave. There's some members of parliament that exist right now that only came in on a wave. They are the proverbial...
vultures?
No, not vultures. That don't come in on a wave. You know what's coming on a wave?
Sharks.
No, sharks don't come on a wave. Seaweed. Seaweed is coming on a wave. You understand? So when the wave come in and the seaweed come in and they wash up on the shore, you could come and see it on the shore. But the seaweed don't move. The seaweed don't try to get back to the ocean. The seaweed don't get to productivity. All it is just they're just there. Many of these members of parliament came in on a wave and they have no vision, idea of what they need to do and their responsibility. They relentlessly lean on their government, their political organization, to give them an answer for their constituency, which is a bananas thing. Now, let's do this. Their responsibilities as members of parliament is to liaison between the government and the people. That's their responsibility. So when you give me a vision, an idea, a concept of what needs to happen in the community, I am the filter as the member of parliament. And I could put it to a white paper. I could create the concepts that I can now put in formality and present it to my government and say, this is a course that we need to take. This is the position that the people of St. Barnabas has taken. This is the position of the people of Rakrasha has taken. This is the position that the people of these particular areas have taken. And see formality from that. That is the responsibility of a decent member of parliament. That's what they're supposed to do. They don't do that because no one teach them how to do this. And as a result of not knowing, they're out here just shooting the breeze. Now, I want to say this to you. As we listen to this, as we listen to all these things and talk about these things, we realize that there's a significant infraction. Nobody know their job. Nobody know what they're supposed to do. Nobody, they knew how things were, how do we get back to this, but no one knows how to do it. They don't know their community. We got to start to talk about why men and women should be fired out of the House of Assembly. We got to start to talk about the inaccuracies that exist in these things, and this is what activism should be. Activism and sort of activists that exist in these constituencies and communities should not just be talking general, talk specific to your community. And then be clear, this particular member of parliament should be fired. They are lousy. And don't just come on the radio and do it. Go to your community and start a campaign of why this man or this woman should be fired. Sir, if I was a member of parliament, you would be one of my generals. I told you that.
Yes. Howard, what I think has happened over the years in the last, let's say, 2-3 settings of elections, when it came to candidates, the parties went away from the format of...
Parties never had no format.
No, I'm serious. Because I can speak for my community. I would tell people this, and I didn't
realize... You voted in St. Barnabas.
Yes.
St. Barnabas just now reemerged.
Yeah, but my thing is this. Every member of parliament who was represented St. Barnabas or tried to run for St. Barnabas grew or born, raised, or lived in St. Barnabas. I was shocked until I started doing the history. And I started saying, whoa, yes, Mr. Moxie, yes, Mr. So-and-so, yes. And I started going around the community, and I was like, they put ties there. They say, that's because, you know, that's family, this one.
And that's what you say, that's why they win? That ain't why Shannon win.
No.
Shannon win.
No. I'm saying that the island style of an MP where they basically work.
But Shannon Dawn,
it's a worker.
He changed that entire concept. It wasn't whether or not he's from the community. And if even if you do research and find out that he's there, that didn't keep him there.
No, but he was a worker.
And that's what I'm trying to tell you right
and
now.
And that's what I'm saying to you, that all, whether we like it or not, and I always told people, the reason why you might have seen previous parties who held that seat in St. Barnabas was because the MP who grew up in that neighborhood, became the MP, they worked. And that was one of the trends that I always tell people that the late Edmund Moxie set a trend for the St. Barnabas community that if you want to win, it ain't about the party. It's about you as the individual.
It's always, has always been about the community.
Yes.
People are too eager to satisfy their political organization and forget who their boss really is. I am your boss, sir.
Yes.
You need to work for me.
Yes.
You need to take care of this for me. You don't need to promise me that you can move this old car out of my yard. You need to come get that. I don't care how much permanent secretary you is. I don't care what position you have within your government or whatnot. You will not have it and never get your pension unless you come take care of me. Shannon Dawn get his pension already.
Oh, yeah.
He's straight.
But not only that.
And you're ready to put him back in again.
Well, put it this way. If he gets reelected, and I'm hypothetically speaking, he would have done something that no MP for that area has done.
Because he is a worker. I told you this is the template of the new politician in this country.
And
nobody care where you're from. They only care what you could do. Let me take this telephone call before I go to a break. Caller, go ahead.
Hey, good morning, Mr. Albert Grant. Good morning to the fellow brethren from the Grove. I'm from St. Barnabas.
Absolutely.
Oh, that's the great 52.
That's 52.
Yeah, I'm from St. Barnabas. I guess we'd be around to see me. You know, and so he's kind of correct about the... demographics and the cosmopolitan makeup of the Grove, right? You know, we get along, but, you know, there's a lot of strangers, so we don't really know everybody. And so there's a lot of things going on that the government could really enhance. You know, the migrant community are running shops without prices on the goods, et cetera, et cetera. They're allowed to get away with a lot of stuff. But what I really wanted to touch on and to remind all of the political pundits and politicians alike, okay? This narrative about the country blooming and the country doing good and the country growing, right? I listened to your rebroadcast last night, Brother Howard.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I never knew this, but I was mindful and remembered the fact that the country cannot be growing if the people are not growing. And so we must move along, as you said, Howard, with this growth, right? I didn't want to talk about the Toby scenario, but this is sickening for me, all this talk about growth and tourism and jobs. This is still the mindset from the 60s and 50s, man.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, there are many impediments in the financial constructs of our country, like buying gold and silver in the precious metal markets. The children are not learning anything. I was prompted to call because the situation with the schools that he talked about, he's humanizing the situation as far as the bathrooms, et cetera. You can see the neglect in the government schools, right?
Mm-hmm.
Primary schools, right?
Mm-hmm.
So my daughter goes to, I don't want to call the name of the school, but what I'm saying is every time there's an art project or some project, you have to buy the materials that they need. The school doesn't have glue, construction paper, all of these things. So, you know, I'm sickened by this. And what I'm saying is if the government is going to allow our country to fill up with migrants, they should at least still not allow that to affect Bahamians. You have the schools full up with migrant children, but you're not spending enough money to uphold the school, but you're blaming the Bahamians. But you're allowing the country to fill up and you're burdening the Bahamian taxpayers with migrants in the school. But you don't have nothing, no bathroom, no toilet paper. My daughter tells me that they worry about how much time she goes to the bathroom.
Mm-mm.
There's no tissue. You have to ask for this. The janitor asking her about you. You're just scratching the child and using the bathroom. But what the teacher have to worry about you using the bathroom for? Their bathroom passes, et cetera. When I was in school, maybe the children have become smart. They use the classes or whatever and going. But that doesn't, when I was in school, I knew nothing about these things. But this is how innovative the children have become in their incorrigible or deviant behavior. But what I'm saying is, Howard, who caused this problem? The government that allowed the migrants to come here and caused this problem. Now, I ain't worrying about whoever talks or saying they don't agree. Listen to me, man. The country has too much migrants. The government needs to address the problem and realize that it is causing a problem. The imposition of immigration is affecting this country. Now, the people who are sitting up in the ivory towers, they don't feel it.
Mm-hmm.
You see? But me in the inner city, hey, it's all over, man. And this current administration, the other day when Lincoln was being over Paris Island, why would the person tell the person, check the prime minister, and it was linked to the court? Man, listen, man, you know, this country is being run like a farm, okay? We're burning coal, we're doing anything, everybody is not, no accountability from anybody. You haven't heard the situation with the Haitian caught smuggling humans on Awaki. You haven't heard anything about that case. You haven't heard anything about the case with the 90,000 with the police that they came and let the public know, but you didn't hear anything is happening. I guess the guy, they probably getting money back and they say everything cool. Now, as it relates to Mr. Shenandoah Cartwright, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't go looking for him and I don't care to see him because they only using taxpayers' money to give contracts to their coonies. It's the same thing. Nothing has changed. And the fact that he's putting on weight shows he's no different from anybody. I don't know what kind of weight he's doing, but I was the same weight all my life, and I never weighed 175 pounds. With that kind of weight, he can't be doing no weight, man. That's what I said. Everybody's put on weight in the biggest spot. Even my boy Michael Pintard. I still the same size. I don't eat no dog food. I don't eat no meat. I still got to go to the grave. What I say is, from you putting on weight, I know what kind of weight you could be doing. I mad with everybody because everybody is a hypocrite, and everybody, no one pulling together and trying to solve the problem. This gentleman, highlighting the problem, but we need to come together and deal with these problems because this country is gone, finished. Nothing.
Wow.
Now, you know, I don't lionize no politician. The boy being to the corner the other day, he come down with the PM before he went, he was doing that. I don't want to see nobody else in my shop waking, you know. I ain't looking for nothing from nobody, man, because the Lord ain't put it in a way for everybody to be rich. That's the problem with the black man. He's too busy with acquisitiveness and forget his spiritual journey. And remember this, every man will lay down and suffer in pain before he died. That's what you got to remember.
I appreciate you, 52. He's always impassioned. Every single time. Guys, quick commercial break. Going to be right back after this.
Get ready for another exciting Fish Fry Friday, May 3rd at Margaritaville, downtown Nassau. Kicking off the month of May, celebrating Nurses Month. Night Nurse. From 6:30 p.m. to 11:30 p.m., featuring the Big Band Visage and DJ Beats. When you're coming back, Santa, when you're coming to give me my
We salute all the nurses as we celebrate Nurses Month at Fish Fry Friday.
My girl call and ask if I leave home. Well, I tell she are real close. Girl, I almost did.
Admission $25 general, $55 for the Bahamian buffet at Vacation Cafe and the party. All government workers get $5 off their entry with your work ID. You can win passes to dine at Vacation Cafe and passes to the water park. So make your plans to be at Fish Fry Friday. For the best in Soca Bahamian and your favorite old school jams. Fish Fry Friday, Margaritaville, downtown Nassau, 12 Volt Bar, May 3rd.
Contact DaVinci Printing Innovators today for all your printing needs. Customized receipt books, NCR forms, invitations, event tickets, program booklets, business and ID cards, flyers, posters, and banners. They're scanning, printing, lamination, and binding services. Also, a variety of office supplies. No design, no problem. Dedicated graphic designers are ready to serve you. DaVinci Printing Innovators, located in the Village Road Shopping Plaza. Stop in or call 677-2922 or browse services online at www.davinciprinting242.com. Where printing is an art.
Great news! Ron's Electric Motors' new location on Cowpen Road, right next to Island Luck, is open Saturdays and Sundays. So for those needing repairs on electric motors, generators, welding machines, water pumps, battery charges, electric lifts, transformers, and power tools, Ron's Cowpen Road location can have you up and running on weekends. Don't forget, you can still visit Ron's Electric Motors on Wolf Road and Claridge Road, and now Ron's new location on Cowpen Road. Dial 356-0249 or 323-5267.
Tired of banks forcing you to use technology to bank the way they want you to? Your convenience is important. So no matter what your banking needs, Commonwealth Bank's friendly staff are always available in branch for that personal one-on-one service. But when you choose technology, our online and mobile banking app offers you state-of-the-art functionality. The choice is yours. Commonwealth Bank. Bank the way you want.
Get ready! On May 4th and 5th, athletes from around the world will compete to secure their spot in the Paris Olympics. Come, witness history as our Bahamian athletes run against the world and chase the sun from paradise to Paris at the BTC World Athletic Relays here in Nassau, Bahamas at the Thomas A. Robinson National Stadium. Get your tickets now at worldrelaysbahamas24.org or at the Andre Rogers Baseball Stadium box office or at BTC Mall at Marathon or BTC Southwest Plaza. BTC World Relays. Be there.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Are you ready for the best of the best? Keep the Vibe Alive Music Group up for sound promotion, and Guardian Radio presents the best of the best Reconscript Explosion Concert. Mark your calendars for May 11th as Super Club Breeze's Grounds ignite with Bahamian talent featuring KB, Gino D, Funky D, Veronica Bishop, The Brylanders, Avi, Elon Moxie, and Shine 242.
They know if you like whining.
Join the Falcons, Iron Store, Philvy Pierre, Johnny Cake, Mama D, Nishi LS, Pat Rami, Stevie S, and Shad Colley and the VIPs for an electrifying night of music and culture. Tickets are flying, so grab yours now. Available online at BahamasEtickets.com or swing by the Beauty Shack on Soldier Road and Carmichael Road. This is the event of the year. The best of the best rake and scrape explosion at Breezes Resorts. Gates open at 6 p.m. Don't miss out on the Bahamian Magic.
Hear what boss man was saying in the back there just now.
About what? The luncheon?
Why are you always worried about food? No. About how we gotta pay a little more for national insurance.
Mildred, you talking fool. I can't afford to pay that.
And you're always crying, poor mouth. Ain't be much. Boss still gotta pay. 1st of July, 2024.
I think that terminal benefit is what did help my boy Tony through the pandemic. That same unemployment benefit. And guess what?
What?
Susan, I think she'd get a pregnancy benefit, eh?
You mean maternity benefit, eh? So now, we gotta do our part to make sure we get our pension. All right.
For more information, visit NIPRateIncrease.com.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Foundation. And we are back, 96.9 FM Radio, Howard Grant and your company, The Foundation, here with none other than Richard Cartwright, having good conversations about what's happening in our constituencies, our communities, more specifically, and how we can be able to contribute to a better community. I think that's important. I think for the most part, we've leaned so heavily on our politicians and believing that they have the answers for our community, only to find out, for the most part, that they don't. They just don't. And the only thing that can be able to separate them from this kind of an opportunity that they pursue is a community that is awake, that understands that, hey, listen, this guy don't have the answers. The one thing, and since we're talking about St. Barnabas, the one thing that separates Shenandoah from any other politician that existed in that area or even in the country is because he has committed to work the constituency. There are many people who look for a safe seat. I can't even get away, man. I just want to be very clear with you. There are many a man and a politician who looking for a safe seat. You know why they want it safe? Because they leaning on their laziness, their contentment, their desire not to be able to go and find the issues and deal with it. They leaning and hoping to Jesus that they don't have to do nothing much. That this community would have allegiance to their political party and organization, and they could find themselves here again and again and again without doing anything. Shenandoah gone to the constituency and work. FNM and PLP alike. I'm always amused and amazed that this constituency was designed, I remember it, specifically for who? For who? You ain't want to say it. Cheryl Bazat?
Yes.
Okay, praise God. Stop it. Stop like we don't know. It was designed specifically for Cheryl Bazat. Shenandoah was not supposed to win that. And then they put another charming guy.
Another man from the community.
From the community. Right behind him, the second go-round, Shenandoah can't beat this fella. He light skin, he good hair, and he's the blue eye boy of the organization. We can get the constituency back. Shenandoah win the second go round. It had nothing to do with the FNM. It was everything to do with the allegiance that they had to Shenandoah for the opportunities that he's given them. It's just work. All this is just work. Let me take this this telephone call before we get out of here. Caller, go ahead. Hello. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah. Good day, Howard.
Hey,
good
what's
day
up?
To your guest.
Good day.
I say amen to my schoolmate 52. With what he had to say earlier.
Mm-hmm.
And do you know that in our innocence, me, him, Michael Pintard, Miles Dorder, all went to school from primary school to junior high, right?
Okay.
Well, anyway, the member of parliament for St. Barnabas, Mother Pratt, mm-hmm. went to college with her. She was a worker before her, Edmund Moxie.
Mm-hmm.
In primary school, when he started Cookham Bay Village, they had these programs for people to train to do stuff. And in summer school at Yellow Elder Primary, that's where I know to learn to put rugs together and put the fibers to put rugs together, which was displayed one time at Joan Bay Village.
Mm-hmm.
What I'm saying here is these young people have to know what it is and what the other caller, contributor to your show said. The person asking them for $20 just to interview them.
Mm-hmm.
Something is wrong with them. But the prime minister and the deputy prime minister them need to understand that, guess what? Toby Smith and his proposal to do what he wanted to do on Paradise Island was turned down and put in favor of RCI, Royal Caribbean, right?
The government could tell you that's a different proposal entirely.
I know, but what
okay,
I'm saying
let's be decent. Go ahead.
There is no crown land on Paradise Island. The property they discussed and talked about, the lighthouse, was granted on the 12th of February, 1786, to a Ferguson person who would call the first name. So when you see them taking favors, we know what it has to do with the economics of what it might be. But I'm going to chime out with this. See what I'm saying? the situation with my personal situation with Pittstown and Crooked Island and my personal 23-acre, 700-foot of beachfront property, they know they would announce me. It's been 17 months and 10 days today. But when I go and shut down Pittstown runway, and I challenge any one of those lawyers, the 13 of them in the cabinet, and all in the Attorney General office, and the jesters and clowns of the House of Clowns at Higgs and Johnson, to tell this nation why they keep holding up on me.
Yeah.
See what I'm saying?
Yeah. We got to be able to get to that. I often hear you talk about that and take on that kind of position, and I always appreciate you being able to bring history and bring data and documentation about, along with you when you have these kind of conversations. Let me see if we can take the next telephone call. Caller on the line with us live. Go ahead.
Hey, Howard.
Hey, what's up, Anton?
What's going on?
All is well.
Good afternoon to you and your cousin.
Hey, Anton.
Ricardo, how you doing?
Wonderful, sir.
Excellent. I sort of went in that day. It's just now fire. But what I wanted to say, just picking up from Shenandoah, right? And then moving forward, whatever little guy I'm a part of the after. Shenandoah came in on the way. Howard.
He did. Right? He did.
As we all know.
He did.
He came 35 to 4 wave from a wave that happened previously, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Shenandoah used the formula correctly,
mm-hmm.
which was to, despite what my government had to say with regards to him, he used the people's money to benefit the people.
Of his constituency.
Of his constituency.
Mm-hmm.
All right? And he didn't find it. He didn't find anything too good for them. He didn't find any amount too big for them. He did what he had to do to mm-hmm. benefit the people of his constituency with their tax dollars. That is the formula, Howard. No matter what happens at the end of the day, any government who is in play, they're using our tax money. Mm-hmm. It should benefit us primarily. We have a situation where we came from an historical perspective where the wealth of the nation was utilized for a minority, right? Who we consider to have old money today.
Mm-hmm.
We have the government that is supposed to be a majority government. The government that is a tool that should be used as an equalizer, mm-hmm. but it is not being used as an equalizer as much as it should and as much as it can be used. I'll end right now, but I know you have very little time.
Thank you, man. I do appreciate that, man. Appreciate you.
Thanks.
I expected him to kind of tie it in. I think he did that. He gave us a silhouette of where he is going in. The government's responsibility is to be able to ensure that it takes care of its people with the finances from its people, right? Shenandoah Cartwright, no matter how you feel about him, he understood this particular principle and he utilized his position, not a cabinet position, you know.
No.
He utilized his position to ensure that he empowered the people who are decent, good Bahamian people. Talk to me. These are good, decent Bahamian citizens who are voters. They understood that you never look a horse, a gift horse in its face. You have to know how to say thank you.
Yes.
And they returned the thank favor. You to him.
Returned the favor.
They returned the thank you to him. I remember conversations in 2021, no, man, we can't go against Shenandoah. That's exactly what I heard in the constituency. No, man, we can't go against Shenandoah Cartwright. This is what I heard. So I'm only saying that to say to all those members of parliament who are out there, to the voice note that came from South Andres to talk about what's happening in Mangrove Key, to the chatter that I'm hearing that comes out of various constituencies, we can get to these constituencies. Members of parliament need to get to their job. Your allegiance should never be to your political organization. My God, if you want your pension, because if you're over 65, there are no jobs for you. My God, how I preaching? I preaching now?
Oh, yeah.
Go, I preaching.
Go ahead.
If you're
ahead.
Over 65, there are no jobs for you. If you ain't got no trade, if you ain't got no position, if you're over 65, you better get to work in your constituency. Because, Bulla, payday is coming. And if you don't take care of people in your constituency, you are not going to get your pension. And no one needs to, you at 65 years old, trying to figure out how you can get another dollar. You need to stop. All you have to do is do your work now and find yourself being able to reemerge as a member of parliament in your space. That's the show today, my brother. I want to thank you so much for being able to join us in these things. I think we had a full circle conversation to start to talk about where we are, the community that existed, the spirit of the community that existed, and how do we retain these particular things. And then we spoke more specifically about the responsibilities of our members of parliament and them getting to work. I want to thank you guys. I want to thank all those persons for actually calling in and participating. Tomorrow is Small Business Thursday. If you want to be able to be a part of it, I think I have one slot left. Give me a call, 3236. Oh, no, give me a call, 827-0111. 827-0111. I can set you guys up. Richard Cartwright, I want to thank you, my brother. I enjoyed this conversation with you.
Anytime, cousin. Anytime.
You are very nostalgic, and you took me to a time where it was a better country, right? It was a better community. It was a better space. I think I like to stay in that kind of a space, but I got to talk about growth and development in the country. I want to thank you guys. Tomorrow, we'll see you right here on The Foundation, Guardian Radio 96.9. Have a beautiful day. We'll see you tomorrow. Godspeed.
Foundation. The foundation. The foundation. The foundation. 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 The foundation. The foundation. The foundation. The foundation.